You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Just how we planned it, baby. The U.S. get knocked out by a millimeter. Come on.
It's a game of inches. Okay.
We didn't even get an inch.
We didn't get to the inches yet. We're still in the metric system, bro.
Damn, yo. When they say Europe was taking over this game, I didn't know they meant with their measurements as well, bro.
I'm about to burn a bunch of European math books, bro.
It's the facts, bro.
You don't need.
Oh, you mean maths books.
The plural. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily. It's going to be a little bit more of a somber episode. We have just watched the United States lose to Sweden. In where were they playing? In Australia? In Auckland?
Who cares?
I don't know where they were. I think they were in Auckland, in New Zealand.
Bro, this is gut-wrenching. Difficult to watch. Yo, we wanted Vlatko to make changes. These weren't the changes in the lineup we requested, bro.
Look,
gut-wrenching.
It's tough. There were some.
Are you going to sit here and try to pull positives from getting knocked out of a second tournament in a row?
That is not what I'm going to do. I'm just going to address the fact that at the very least he did make changes to the lineup and he did change the formation. I'm not here to praise Vlatko because we have a lot of time here. And there will be plenty of criticism. And we even got some listener questions. We will get to a lot of that stuff. But if you're just talking about the lineup, he made some changes and changed the formation.
I'm still yawning.
We have not slept, by the way.
That was not a reaction to what you were saying. That was more of a reaction to my body going, you stayed up for that? Yeah, I don't care about the changes. They weren't enough. The only change I care about now is a new head coach for the U.S. Women's National Team. This is what should have been the easiest job in women's football. You've got a squad full of absolute beasts. The only thing you had to do was place them in the right position and let them do their thing, and you didn't do that. And no disrespect to Vlatko, but this isn't enough. And yeah, granted, you know, Horan's shot isn't stopped. Alex Morgan's header isn't saved. We're not talking about this. And maybe the feeling is a bit more positive moving forward. But because we've lost, you now got to look back and say, here's where the major failure points were. I mean, to me, the most suspect player coming in was Alyssa Nair, having an absolutely horrid year with her club, the Chicago Red Stars. I'm thinking, yo, you don't want your number one to be a little, you know, rickety coming in or a little bit lacking confidence. And she was absolutely stellar in the moments that we needed her to be. Outside of that one shot from Portugal, which luckily comes off the post, I thought she did incredibly well, even became the first goalkeeper, I think, to score on a penalty in a World Cup.
Okay, yeah, that's
to
right.
score, yeah. Or to convert a penalty, I should say. Absolutely, you know, shut me up when it comes to Alyssa Nair. She's clearly able to be a number one, even if she's not playing well at her club. But after that, you get to the back line. I've got a lot of questions. And it's not questions of the players. It's questions of which players are chosen. When you get to the midfield, I've got a lot of questions. Again, not questions about the players, but questions about where they're chosen. And when it comes to the front three, I probably would have made a lot of the same or similar decisions. But if it wasn't for a midfield that couldn't really effectively get them the ball, and if it wasn't for Alex Morgan having what I guess now we would have to call a pretty bad tournament or lackluster.
No goals. Yeah. No goals.
No goals.
Alex Morgan. Yeah.
Not to say she wasn't influential, but this isn't your main striker. You can't come out with no goals four games in. That's it. To me, all the signs point back to Vlatko. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a great guy. I got nothing against the guy personally. But when it comes to this role, he was clearly above his pay grade. This was not this shouldn't have gone out this way.
Without a doubt. I mean, I'm watching this game, and even in the first 10 minutes, my first thought is like, we could have been this team. We could have been this mm-hmm. team three earlier matches, and we chose not to be, right?
We probably wouldn't have been playing Sweden if we had been that team.
Without a doubt.
For three games.
I just think about the game against Netherlands, and it's like, no subs in that. It's like, one goal in that game changes the confidence of the team, the outlook. The game against the game against Portugal is the result. You know, that would have a draw would have been fine. It wouldn't have been a big deal. But just the decision. This is why I said this after the game against Portugal. I said we have no midfield. We need to fix that. And
we do, though. They're on the bench.
They're on the bench. I'm just saying, in these games, in the three games, we had no midfield, and we finally did. And they put five midfielders there, right? And when we look at the, you know, right there, Emily Sonnet, who I thought had an incredible game and was a great replacement for Rose Lavelle.
Probably not the name I would have picked, but she really, really played well.
Yes. Look, so Sonnet, Sullivan, Smith, Horan, and Rodman in the midfield, and then just one striker up top with Alex Morgan. This worked well. Trinity Rodman looked so much better.
She changes games, bro.
Dude, they were good. They were objectively the better team. They just couldn't find a goal because of this damn Swedish goalkeeper, Musovic. Bro.
Or maybe Musovic.
I don't know, but she had the game of her career.
Look, I haven't gotten this confirmed, but I really do believe this. I think she had plexiglass glued to her hands because I couldn't see. I'm like, is there a force field around this woman that attracts the ball to her hands?
The shot from Lindsey Horan that she stopped. What an incredible save.
How did she even see it?
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe she got to that. That was just such a, and it was definitely, it was right in it was going to hit the side netting. Just such a great shot. And the U.S. didn't have that many great shots. And that's the frustrating thing. Look, the bigger picture, as far as like tactically, I think they handled it right. And look, they couldn't score. And it's just so mind-boggling that before this tournament, I kept saying, yo, the defense worries me. We lost Sauerbrunn. What are we going to look like defensively? But I ain't worried because we're going to bag a bunch of goals. It's all good. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be 7-6. Like, but we going to win.
Bro, we so stacked. The problem is you can go three deep on our back line and we still going to stop you. And what you going to do when we score all these goals? And all I heard was, brr, 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 brr,
brr, my, brr. My
and
dude.
And, bro, we've got ballers up front.
We are
ballers. Sophia Smith, Trinity Rodman, Alex Morgan, Alyssa Thompson, Lynn Williams. These are buckets, all of them.
So, look.
How?
Yeah. This is my, especially after this game against Sweden, I think the biggest problem here, and this is where I go back to Vlatko. This is Vlatko's responsibility. I think tactically, when it comes to the attack, it's very clear, and you saw it several times, with Crystal Dunn and with Emily Fox, but way more with Emily Fox. How many overlapping runs do you think Emily Fox completed in this game? How many? A fullback who gets it to the winger and just runs ahead of the winger so that to create some confusion.
Six?
Maybe one. I think I remember one. Maybe. And it was like accidentally where she was just like, oh, why am I up here?
Why did I go this far? the part to me that's frustrating is if you're going to play, you know, Emily Sonnet to me is a bit more defensive than what I would have preferred And yeah. No disrespect, I think she played an incredible game. But, you know, for me, I would have said, like, all right, if you're going to keep Andy Sullivan in, who did well with great. Her penalty,
who,
by the way.
Yeah, yeah, who played great.
And played well. I mean, I don't want to take that away from her. She played absolutely well. But if you're going to, if we're going to keep Andy Sullivan in and Julie Ertz, if we're going to keep this experiment going, then give me someone who's creative and attacking. If we can't have, you know, a Rose Lavelle, or if we can't depend on a Rose Lavelle, to me, it would have been perfect to bring in, let's say, again, an Ashley Sanchez to play in Emily Saunders's role, right? And then if Julie Ertz kind of moves up, now that's your defensive pivot with Andy Sullivan, and you still got three at the back, possibly two at the back when Crystal Dunn runs up, which would allow Julie Ertz to slide back, right, when that's happening. To me, that's the way I would have gone about it, and maybe we would have had more opportunities. Look, defensively, we looked great. I think you mentioned, you know, Jimmy Conrad said we had we gave up two shots on goal all tournament. Yeah. The problem is we couldn't score. And if you can't score, you can't win. And I really don't believe that it was the shooting boots of these players. I honestly believe it was how much we were asking them to do to get a shot off. I'd have to look at the stats, but I want to see where most of these shots came. I bet you they're in and around the box. I don't think they're from close range other than headers. I don't think they're... we're not getting sort of the creative attack that we used to see where we would just bombard. We would be surrounding their box and just getting shots off close to goal.
Yeah.
We're not
seeing that. More than anything, I mean, a lot of the chances that were created in this game were from through just the sheer talent of the wingers, of Sophia Smith, of Trinity Rodman. How she got the ball and
individual
just
dynamism. And
ran past and made a nice move to create your own opportunity. But where is the occasional the 10? There was no 10. There's no midfielder, attacking midfielder, that's just like, yo, let me slip some balls through while they make a run, angled runs inside the box. Not one.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not one.
Lindsay Horan was making the late runs. This ain't what we need. That's not your job.
That you should be. You know, I mean? You should be the one making those passes. There was nobody to do that. And this is, look, with five midfielders, you would think it would be a little bit more just a central presence. And look, credit to Sweden, because they looked at the other matches, saw what worked, and let's just do it again. They're basically saying the U.S. have no threat in the middle of a central midfielder that is a threat to shoot the ball from outside the box, or can make a chip pass to have a late runner, to have a threat inside the box. So it's not necessarily, look, they were still the better team. Sweden could barely possess the ball, could barely connect many passes. Yes, the Sweden tactic was, we have a lot of tall players. Let's try to get some corners. Maybe we can get some a goal that way. And Alyssa Nair stepped up every single time. There weren't many, many threats. It was one.
It's worked against us twice in knockout tournaments. I mean, what do you want us to? What do you? You know what I mean? I get the point you're making. We were the better team, but it's at the end of the day, who moves on in this World Cup and who goes home?
I agree. I mean, look.
Alex Morgan gone fishing now.
Yeah, yeah. It's, watching the post game with Rapinoe, with Alex Morgan, Julie Ertz. Obviously, they're all heartbroken and really sad. Julie Ertz mentioned that she's sad, especially because this is probably her last time wearing the U.S. Women's National Team crest. So I don't know if that's true or not or whatever. You would imagine there'll be other opportunities proper send-off and stuff like that. But just we'll talk about the penalties in a moment, but it's just so frustrating because they were just objectively so much better. And it's just that they're missing. Look, not having Rose Lavelle is having Rose Lavelle there, I think, would have been helpful. But because Rose Lavelle was injured and not really in form, is why she also didn't really, she didn't really dominate in the games that she played either. But there was just no, and I think you're right. You also on Morning Footy mentioning about Ashley Sanchez. Like, why isn't Ashley Sanchez playing? Like, the fact that
none of her boots got dirty. It's not one grass team.
Sofia Huerta, Alana Cook. I mean, there's so many players that, like, given that the team didn't.
Where would you have put Sofia Huerta in this team? Because her name has come up a little bit more in, like, the last two matches.
I would have tried to play her for Emily Fox occasionally. Emily Fox is a great defender. I mean, let's not take anything away from her.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. And has the pace, and she was phenomenal defending. But moving the ball forward, it's just not like just
not really her thing.
Just really that attacking threat. Like when Lynn Williams got into the game, how much of a difference she made? Like easily, like the pace, the energy, the crosses. It was a huge difference. But she's on the same side with Emily Fox. There should be some sort of chemistry there, and there was none. Like. Getting, you know, whatever. Just like a lot of times a winger will come towards the ball when the fullback has it, and then quick stop and go reverse, and then now you hit it over the top. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of those. But the fact that Lynn Williams had no option of like, oh, Emily Fox might run in front of me behind the defender. To cause a little
create
bit.
Some space.
Create yeah. some space for a cross. And Emily Fox just stays back and waits for the ball because she's worried about, I guess, the counter. But clearly, that's the tactic being told to her, to not make overlapping runs. And it's like, for a team that can't score, you need these threats. You need, you know, same thing. Like, these fullbacks should be in the box from time to time. And
you got to play brave.
And you have to trust that Naomi Girma or Julie Ertz can, if there is a counter, that they can get there.
Who, Naomi Girma, to me, is the standout from this whole squad.
Yeah, best player in of this World Cup for the U.S.
Somebody messaged me and said, so a Rolls Royce of a defender. Which, you know, I completely agree. Although Rolls Royce are in the shop too much. That's a Corvette of a defender right there.
Yeah, I mean, the specifics with her are like, you know, I've definitely watched her in San Diego here and there. I don't watch...
Rookie of the Year last year.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Really good at what she does.
But incredibly good with both feet. Just calm on the ball all the time. A great calm. Passer.
Knows where the... Those where the attacker wants to go, doesn't let them go there.
Right.
And that is, you know, at the end of the day, that's all I ask for from a center back is if you can cause doubt in that striker's mind, please.
Yeah.
Every day. So that reminds me of Saliba in that sense.
We were talking about Ertz, you know, what this lineup should have looked like. But this seemed like such a great opportunity to start Alana Cook, to put Julie Ertz in the midfield. And because that's it. Emily Sonnet was great and poised and controlled on the ball. Emily Sonnet is a fullback and can play center back from time to time. But how poised was she and calm on the ball and was great. But getting those forward passes, she didn't make too many of those. I liked from Andy.
Let's be honest. He started, if you count defensive midfielders, he started three in the back and two in front. He started five defensive players. To me, Crystal Dunn is a midfielder that plays fullback. He started five defensive players. How are you going to get service? How are you going to win the midfield battle? How are you going to advance the ball? How are you going to break lines if you've got six center backs, you know what I mean? Five center backs and Crystal Dunn back there?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen where Huerta should have started at left back so that Crystal Dunn could go into the midfield. Again, why have any creativity and dynamism in the midfield? We clearly don't need it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and look, I don't dislike Vlatko. I don't want this to come down as though we're just harping on it, but this was a really bad showing where we needed some positivity after the last tournament. And, you know, World Cup is obviously where we shine. This is the bump the women's game needed in this country. And to not have that moment, to not let, you know, a Megan Rapinoe and a possibly Kelly O'Hara, possibly Julie Ertz, possibly Alex Morgan go out on top is an absolute shame. And it's a disgrace for the women's program. And obviously, honestly, after that, you know, Vlatko, I don't dislike you, dude. Come over, come to the Cooligan studio And the first thing I'm going to say is, yo, we need to chill. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, you know, just for some advice. That's all we offer out here, okay? Because we're going to chill with Vlatko. And now that he's out of the World Cup, you know, we could just, you know, hang out, watch some Leagues Cup, okay? That's the
Boss
move.
Boss a few back while watching some Leagues Cup. I'll say, hey, let me show you a dynamic midfielder in Lionel Messi. Have you heard of him?
You probably
would start him at center back.
But let me tell you why that might not be a good idea, okay, Vlatko? So we're only here to help because
I know we said we were gonna chill, but here's me wheeling out a whiteboard on an easel.
So I'm just gonna obviously toss Vlatko an ice cold Coors Light with the Blue Mountains on it.
It's crisp. It's refreshing.
He needs it right now.
Two things our lineup in this World Cup weren't, but two things that League's Cup absolutely is. And you know what? If he's like, dude, don't toss me a lukewarm one, I'll say, hey, I know it's cold because of the Blue Mountain on it. It turns blue when it's cold, you know? Kind of like how the score goes up when you score a goal, something you didn't really do. Unless it was against Vietnam.
So we're only here to help and offer the best counseling.
Some insight. We're just here to offer some insight. You know what I mean?
Okay. But this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an ice cold Coors Light, the official beer of Leagues Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Okay.
Say goodbye, Vlatko.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
All right, let's talk about the penalties.
Do we have to?
We have to because this was, I mean, one of the most, I think this is going to probably go down one of the most memorable penalties in, I think, World Cup history, men's or women's. This was pretty remarkable for the ending to end the way it did with the goal line technology being a factor with the ball.
Let me just say this. I think you and I both agree that goal line technology has an anti-American slant to it.
We've said this from day one, okay?
When they mentioned goal line technology, I'm like, are you talking about that anti-American technology, dude?
Go look at the tape. Go look at the tape, okay?
Go back and find it. We're not going to tell you what episode it is. Go back and listen to them all.
We got nothing to hide, okay? We've been saying this forever.
Nothing but facts here, bro.
But listen there, you can't ask more of your goalkeeper. Made the stops.
I mean, literally, she made two saves and possibly a third. Well, yeah. One was a miss, and she also scored one.
Yeah, I mean, she did everything necessary to move on in this World Cup. But
before we talk about the actual penalties, were you not at all confused by the order that the U.S. women went?
You mean after the five, or just in general?
No, in general.
No, because
Andy Sullivan first, Lindsey Horan, Kristen Mewis.
Look,
Megan Rapinoe.
I would
then Sophia Smith.
I would imagine with penalties. I like veterans there, people who can handle the moment. Andy Sullivan has been playing in NWSL for years and with the U.S. Women's National Team for a long time. She had just missed the roster in 2019. So I wasn't necessarily shocked. It was honestly the way I was feeling was the way England fans during the Euros when Saka missed his penalty against Italy and those moments. That's all I was thinking about. Like, I just please, for the sake of these young women, I just want them to do well and just because I know the criticism that's coming if they miss. And the players that I was just hoping, just please do not miss because of the criticism, one of them was Andy Sullivan. I'm like, okay, she got hers.
Right, she's had a lot of criticism thrown on her.
Yeah.
Including, which is unfair.
Including from us, right? So valid criticism. But I was just happy for her in that moment. Same thing with Kristi Mewis.
She scored 6 goals in her career, though.
Right, but some people are just really good at penalties, right? We know that.
I get it.
So and,
I'm saying I like the send up your most lethal.
Well, I mean, you would think those people are going to close it out, right? Megan Rapinoe is the penalty taker, the designated penalty taker for the U.S. Women's National Team for the last two World Cups, essentially.
And she gave a gift to someone in the second tier.
We got the you know, like Messi, when Messi disappointed Argentina for a decade and missing penalties in Copa America and World Cups and just huge tournaments. And this, and we just, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't, and then Rapinoe misses and you're like, damn, this sucks. And then Alyssa Nair saves the next one and you're like, all right, Sophie Smith, go close this out. I was just watching the Nike ad with everybody should fear you and be afraid of you. So it was there. It was right there. And she hits it over the bar as well. And it's just like
Kelly O'Hara's off the post is shocking. Tried to place it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but it feels like the moment got to her, you know?
I mean, it got to...
Which you just wouldn't expect out of someone like Kelly O'Hara, who's just, yo, you've been there, done that, bro.
Yeah, but she's... How many penalties has she taken? I don't even know. Somebody was asking that question on Twitter, like, how many, you know, when you bring on a substitute as well just to take the penalties, it's a little bit... It could be a little nerve-wracking because you haven't really had that many touches of the ball. I thought Kristy Mewis was... That was just a huge penalty. I think that was the only touch in the World Cup that she took at all. And to make that penalty.
You might be right, bro. And she fucking, yo, top right, top bend it.
Dude, incredibly impressive. But so I'm not mad at Kelly O'Hara. I'm not mad at Sophia Smith. I'm not mad at Megan Rapinoe. It's just out of the three, I would say the most shocking was Rapinoe because we know how good she is at penalties.
To not even get it on frame is just shocking.
Yeah,
no other word I want to use because I love Megan Rapinoe.
To have a performance from your goalkeeper like that and not winning penalties is so frustrating because the Swedish goalkeeper was great throughout the game, but she didn't stop any of the pens. You know,
she didn't have a save in the we missed them.
We missed them. Yeah.
Yeah, Megan Rapinoe skied it. Sophia Smith went wide or skied it.
Skied
I can't
it
remember.
Well. And Rapinoe
and Kelly O'Hara
and Kelly O'Hara
went
off.
Yeah.
So just
off the post.
And then the last one, Alyssa Nair makes the stop.
Technically
Lena.
I read that she wouldn't have been able to get a second hand on it anyway. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know if that's true either. I think you can. So I know the rule is the play doesn't stop until the ball is completely dead. So it could happen where, and it's happened before.
The striker's not allowed to take a stand.
No. But I'm pretty sure the goalkeeper can take as many touches to stop the ball. I don't think that's the thing. But the rule is that. The play is not completely over until the ball is completely dead. So we've seen there's like a viral clip of a Sunday league game of a guy stopping a pen and it bounces into the air.
Yeah, he gets up and celebrates.
And gets up and celebrates. It takes one bounce and it trickles in, and that's a good goal. That's a good penalty. So I mean, look, and it's again the margins, right? Because Alyssa Nair guesses right, but is over. She overdoes it, right? She goes almost too far, gets a hand on it, which is why it bounces up, and it just trickles in. And we've seen,
was it Lena Hertig hit it so hard?
Yeah.
That Alyssa Nair's bear paw, you know, which just stopped many a wonder strike in her career, wasn't enough to send it the opposite way. And I mean, look at this. I mean,
we're looking
CSI
at it on screen
hands
now.
Hands, bro.
I mean, it couldn't get any closer. I mean, you could, in my, you know, American, you know, exceptionalism brain, I'm like, that's not over. That's not completely over, right. You know? I'm like,
that's only over if you hate America, you know?
That's the only way Sweden gets that. But look how close this is. This is crazy.
Developing North Korea, you know what I mean?
This is crazy. The fact that this is how close it was. I mean, it's just brutal. Brutal. It's just penalty. I mean, penalties are penalties. I mean, it shouldn't have got to that point to begin with because the U.S. completely dominated. And my frustration is, you know, with losing I just hate that they lost to Sweden at this moment after the, like, they shouldn't have been dancing after blah, blah, blah. And it's like, bro, it's
right,
like
it's going to make people who think that think they're right.
Right, right. And we're already getting like the comments on like the Carly Lloyd video of like, oh, I guess she was right. This didn't age well. And it's like, bro, why is it so easy? And this is an interesting aspect of these national teams, the men's and the women's. The target of like a lot of vitriol was Greg Berhalter, because it's like, no, we didn't play well because we have this coach and blah, blah, blah. We have such a good team and these guys are the next generation and they're all the, you know, whatever, all they're great. And but Greg Berhalter is the problem. But with the women's national team, it's look at these women, they're dancing, they're not focused on the game, and the you know, the people who actually watch soccer and know the national team know that this team, the tactics and the coaching was terribly flawed. And so it's just like the casuals that don't really watch and don't really care, and they just hate Rapinoe and hate women and blah 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 and hate equal pay, and this is why they shouldn't get paid, and 15-year-old boys could be, and blah blah, that nonsense. They don't attack Vlatko. Those people don't attack Vlatko. They just attack the women because they don't like women. That's right. the frustrating aspect. So that's like why I didn't want them to go out in this particular moment. Because there's plenty of valid criticism, and we make it, and it's, and everybody, and you know,
and it's fair. It's fair to criticize, but to sit here and to say that obviously the trolls are going to come out and feel vindicated in some way, shape, or form, which is the bad part. But also part of me feels like, you know, there might be some positive. And I said this a while ago, and I remember thinking, you know, I remember being told that I was crazy, but maybe there's a silver lining to going out, right? You and I have talked about the futures. We've seen what the next level, what the next generation is going to look like. And we are way behind when it comes to it. Our dynamic, our individual dynamism and our athleticism isn't going to cover us forever. Some of these nations are taking women's football way more serious. They're developing much better talent. Some of these clubs are paying a lot of money now for women's football. Women's football is on the rise elsewhere. To some degree, this could be, and Yanni Marte at Yanni Mars asked, yeah, is this the Trinidad moment for the U.S. women's national team? And I want to take that one step further beyond just like, yo, is this the moment where we sort of come to the realization, or a moment of reckoning, or a come to Jesus moment, whatever you want to call it, with the fact that our squad isn't good enough. I want to take that further and say, like, is this a moment where real change happens, where we start to take development in this country so much more serious, where our national team, or sorry, our club teams start to develop academies and start to really, I mean, think about it. Naomi Girma is 23 years old. She's only played professionally for 2 years. There's going to come a time. There's going to come a moment where that's not good enough. We're not going to have these players for long enough. We're not going to fulfill their potential, because they're only getting to play such a shortened period because they're in college for so long, as opposed to an academy system. So I want to hear your thoughts on that. Do you think this is the moment where maybe we turn that corner? There's some changes in the federation, and we start to take the development of this game so much more serious.
So I'm not as panicked, right? We just won 2 World Cups, right? So I'm not in some place where the, you know, everything that we're doing is flawed, and I don't see it. It's definitely not the same as the Trinidad debacle.
So if Trinidad was 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say this is?
I think this is like a 6. This is a real cause for concern, and this is to say that this World Cup has changed my mindset a lot, because not only, you know, we get a lot of comments and people being like, you know, oh, you don't know this player, you don't know that player, like, yo, they're great, and it's like, yo, I'm watching NWSL. The players that play here, I'm in my mind, the NWSL is the most competitive women's league in the world, so that's what I watch, and I'm not watching Liga MX Femenil that much. I'm not watching La Liga, the women. I'm not watching WSL that much. I'll Champions League, I'll catch a couple games, but I think the cause for concern here is coaching. I think we're falling behind on coaching. It seems like because of the investment in women's football around the world, and not just in Europe, look at the game against South Africa, Netherlands. Yo, South Africa was like, that was a proper team. They played well together. They had good.
They weren't lucky to get through. Yeah,
good individual players, and just mistakes is what, you know, led them to losing that game essentially. And so I think this is opened my eyes to the fact that there not only are there good players playing all around the world, there are good teams. They are good, properly coached teams that understand the game tactically on a level that some of our younger players may not. Where, because we see in NWSL, you got a player like Trinity Rodman, who is just athletically just much more gifted than a lot of the players that she may face. And I think that kind of seeps into the mind of coaches that are like, yo, give her the ball, let her rock, and we'll probably end up winning. And then they do win, right? The Washington Spirit won the NWSL championship just last year. So, or 2 years ago, whatever. So that's my thing. I think this World Cup showed that the difference between Jill Ellis and Vlatko, where Jill Ellis, look, very obvious, like a lot of players didn't really like her. There were issues. You know, players didn't really vouch for her to come back. And Vlatko, they were like, yo, this dude's a homie. And we talk about this all the time. You go from authoritarian coach to chill coach, and you never do the same, because you need that change. And they went to...
No, it's two-a-days, hacky sack. Two-a-days, hacky sack. That's how you do it.
So they went to the chill coach that was, you know, better vibes, and it didn't work out. And that happened.
Too many vibes.
And you know, and that's my, you know, kind of synopsis of this these last few years. But we've had plenty of examples. The Olympics, we had the losing three friendlies in a row to the European teams. Vlatko's just not, he had his chance, not cut for it, and we move on to somebody that is more of a tactician and understands
a real. And no disrespect to him, but like an actual tactical coach.
Yeah.
Someone who is going to ask more of each of these individual players to work as a team, as opposed to use that individual dynamism. I'm not as optimistic as you. To me, you said six. To me, this is more of an eight. You know, I get the feeling that, you know, I'm the one, or, you know, that could see like the monsters coming, but nobody wants to believe me, you know? This feels like we're losing grip. You know, we talked about how, you know, financial fair play is allowing, or really asking of a lot of these English teams to invest a ton of money into the game. They're creating some strong teams. And look, you and I have always been a big, big fans of the women's game in this country and NWSL because of morning footy and having access to this Champions League stuff. I've become way more familiar with the women's game outside of just who Arsenal women are playing at that time. And I'm seeing in real time, you know, you ask yourself, like, why would Sam Kerr leave NWSL for Chelsea or for Europe? Could it possibly be the money? And you're seeing like, oh, wow, they are investing way more into this game. A lot of players are going to want to play in Europe versus NWSL. Ellie Menjem talked about how there was an article in Australia that said, what if Sam Kerr would have been allowed to play the sport that she really loves, which is AFL, which is the Aussie rules football, the one that's played on that oval sort of pitch. And he talked about how ridiculous of a comment that is. They're kind of going through the same thing we went through in the States a while ago. But he's saying how ridiculous that is. She makes three times more than the highest paid AFL player. And that's the number one sport in Australia. And those are men. And she makes three times more than that playing football for Chelsea women. And it just gives you an idea, the support that these women are getting with fan bases showing up and getting to use big stadiums. And you're starting to see that it feels like America is losing its grip on this sport. Part of the reason why America fell in love with this sport is Brandi Chastain in 99. And I'm not taking anything away from the women that came before her, but that moment was so iconic. That's a reason why even a lot of young boys fell in love with the sport, never mind just young girls that were inspired to want to play it. And we're starting to lose that grip. And you talk about coaching. To me, it starts at the lower levels. And I think this is a sign that, yes, Sweden was not a better team than us, but that does not take away from the fact that Japan, England, Germany at points, France at points have looked wholly better than we do. We've been able to sort of muscle our way to the top, and that advantage is now gone, or seemingly gone.
Yeah.
We need to develop better players. We need to develop players that play as a team, and we need a coach, like you said, that's willing to coach them and make them a unit of 11 players as opposed to 11 players out there that are all units. And when that day happens is the day we will continue to have a grasp on the sport. Right now, I feel like it's slipped past. And maybe even the next World Cup, I'm not going to think of the U.S. as the dominant force. And that's a shame because it's been a long time since that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not too far off with how we see things. I mean, I just think I have probably a little bit higher,
optimism.
Not optimism, just thought of the players that we currently have. I think they do. It's simply I think they do play well together. And this I think today was a great example of that. It's just the coaching kind of won't allow. I'm like. Again, I'm just like, why won't Emily Fox make overlapping runs? That's it. So to me, that's a coach that's telling her to not do that. So that's it.
Why are we leaving so much space in this midfield? Oh, this seems weird.
So frustrating. Look, I mean, I think still a lot to be proud of. And look, for us, as you know, we're obviously fans of the team. We cover the team. We've interviewed so many of the players on the team. It is. You know, when it comes to us personally, I have just a huge amount of admiration and love for all these players.
Same.
And whether we, criticize them or not, it's obviously we want what's best for the team. They do as well. And it's a thing that, you know, the U.S. women's national team to me, at least for me personally, means something a little bit different than the men's national team. There's a different fight. There's a activism attached to it. There's a different meaning. You know, sometimes people are like, you know, that's why the whole thing about, oh, they shouldn't be dancing or whatever. It's just like, bro, the context is kind of important here. They stand for something a little bit different than simply what the men stand for. And not to take, you know, like the men do important things as well. But there's just that's why I'm not.
There's more on the line.
Yeah, I'm not so hung up on whether they win or lose. I really do think it's admirable and important the message that they send, the inspiration that they, you know, you see all these players, even on the other national teams, about how it's really an effort to grow the game, to inspire young girls to get involved. So that stuff makes me very, very proud. And sometimes it's hard to be proud to be an American from time to time because of, the issues that we have. But the U.S. women's national team, to me, really stands for something that I can, like, really support and get behind. So that's, that's why this is, like, It's difficult and emotional in a different way than when the men are knocked out of a World Cup. But I think we still have the best talent in the world, and I'm excited about the next World Cup because I think it's going to be great. And I fully expect the U.S. to turn things around and fix, you know, this, just get a proper 10 that can ping some balls around. They would still be my favorites in the next World Cup. So
also the last thing I want to say before we go is yellow card accumulation should be wiped by the time you get to the knockout stages. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Shout out to everybody. We didn't get to a bunch of the questions, but shout out to everybody who submitted some. We will be back tomorrow with another big episode. Obviously, England is playing tomorrow, and Melissa, yep. We're going to be joined by Melissa Ortiz. She's on the Fox Soccer broadcast, and the homie played on the Colombian national team. We'll talk Colombia with her, and got a lot to look forward to because Colombia has a huge game against Jamaica on Tuesday. So, look, a little somber, a little sad, but it is what it is. The World Cup goes on. The Cooligans continue. Obviously, we'll be here every match day up until the end of the Women's World Cup. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. As always, shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network. Thank you. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button right now. You're crazy if you haven't yet, because you want the
facts,
the most fire, dumb and smart takes. That's what you come here for.
Right, it really is both at the same time.
You get both, okay? So
yeah, it's a nice cornucopia of stupidity and intelligence.
Alexis is wearing a shirt that says 69th minute, bro, okay?
So nice.
So we out here, all right? So
it actually says nice on the back.
That's right. Shout out to Tense Club. Let's go.
Shaz. Scenes.
That's right. They should update it. All right. Yeah. So, leave a comment on this video. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friend. Whatever you got to do. So, thank you so much for tuning in. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't yet. But we will be back tomorrow with another big episode, and we'll be joined by Melissa Ortiz as well.
Yes.
So, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Thank you for everything you did, Megan Rapinoe.